The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. This episode will cover deep topics that some listeners may find uncomfortable. Discretion is advised. Thank you for listening. In the studio with us right now is Selena from Spirit Live show Christianity. It's a faith-based show that tackles deep topics around Christianity. It is now entering its second season, and you can catch it on Spirit Live every Wednesday at 12 p.m. So, Selena, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. So excited to be here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So now you're entering your second season of this show now. I'm just kind of wondering what's going to be in it for second season.
I have a couple new aspects that I've gotten ready for season two. Season one was really, I treated it mostly like a girl talk. I usually have female guests on the show. It's just, you know, we talk about what it means to be a woman who's growing in her Christian faith. This season, though, I'm definitely treating it more like a talk show. I have some new segments. I have a segment called The Tea Party. It's going to be like a 10-minute Q&A session where we have live phone-in calls from viewers, and we're just going to kind of answer some questions. I'm going to be talking about some more deep and serious topics because I feel like season two, why not? So yeah, it's going to be really exciting.
I was kind of wondering, do you know any religious figures who also go over mental health?
So I actually just started attending a new church this month. Before then, I talked about it, especially in season one, like I was struggling with finding a church community that I felt comfortable in and aligned with, but I found one. It's called Ignite Church. I've only been there a couple times, so I'm not too close or familiar with any of the pastors there. I'm still trying to feel it out and see if it aligns with me, which I feel like is important before I take advice from them. I just want to make sure, right? Like, yeah. But I'll keep you guys updated. We'll see how it goes. Maybe in like a month or so, I'll keep you guys updated.
Yeah, for sure. So more into like the mental health stuff. I'm kind of wondering, do you practice, is there any like spiritual or religious routines that you do to maintain your well-being?
Mm-hmm. So a routine that I'm trying to consistently practice, and consistency is going to be talked about a lot because I feel like it's a choice we always have to make, but a practice that I try to do every morning is just start my day with God and like set my intentions for the day. I feel like as humans, we're always dealing with so much and so many things go through our mind at once that I feel like it makes life difficult to go through with a positive like perspective because we're already dealing with so much constantly. So one thing that I do is I always start my day off by thanking God for bringing me into the current day and just asking for God's guidance in whatever I do, and you know, for God's guidance and protection to be over me, because I feel like we do need that spiritual hand and divine intervention in our life because we're just humans. We can't do everything on our own. So that's one thing.
Yeah. So I was kind of wondering, do you think religious institutions kind of reform to address better certain aspects of mental health?
I feel like there's definitely a lot to be done. I also feel like a lot of religious institutions are way behind, way further behind than they should be. For me, the reason why I like the church that I go to right now is because it's actually a youth-based church, so the audience is more so for 17 to 30, and I feel like because of that, the topics that they've been talking about align so much more with me. Whereas when I was going to other churches, which are which had like an older audience, the things they were talking about I did not agree with, and I felt like they needed a fresh perspective and a fresh take on a lot of topics. And a lot of older churches don't talk about mental health because there was this whole stigma around mental health and that, you know, it shouldn't exist or it didn't exist because they ignored people that had clear mental health needs and that needed attention. So yeah, I feel like in terms of churches, you need to find the one for you, and a lot of them do need to catch up, but with everything we need to give them grace and just, you know, wait for the time to come. But I feel like you're doing such a good part in it, and like especially with my show too, like why not just talk about it? I feel like break the stigma. There's no need to have stigmas around things anymore, and we can make that change ourselves. Like,
so this is a question that one of our writers wrote. He's not very religious, but he's like, he was wondering, like, what advice would you give to people who would like to explore their spirituality but are not comfortable with attending or participating in traditional religious institutions?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great question. even from a personal perspective, in one of the churches that I went to when I was younger, which was another Pentecostal Christian church, I had the worst experience. I felt very uncomfortable. I went there for years and I just didn't like it. And I just saw a lot of things that I feel like Christians should not be doing. And it's one of those like situations where people pretend to be someone that they're not, and you see their actions after. So I completely understand where this question is coming from. After I experienced that in that church, I did not want to go to church ever again, and it took me years to open myself up to going to church. But if you're not there yet and you don't know where to find one that you align with, it's no problem. I feel like for the Christianity perspective, the best thing to do is pick up a Bible or get the Bible app on your phone. It's called the Bible app. And I would say read it in one of the newer translations like NLT, which is New Living Translation, ERV, which is the easy to read version, or MSG, which is the Message version. There's a lot of translations, but the newer ones are important because I feel like it helps you actually comprehend what you're reading, because the older versions are giving Shakespeare. And a lot of times I don't have time to focus on whatever Shakespeare is saying. So I feel like you can't go wrong with starting at the source. If you're interested in Christianity, read the Bible in a newer version. Look up which books to read in order, because you can read it in whichever order you like. But you can't go wrong with starting from the source.
Excellent. So thank you, Celine, for coming into the studio with
us. Thank you so
much. So hopefully, like I said, hopefully you kind of like had a little bit of a warm-up for Wednesday.
I feel so prepared. I was so nervous for my first episode, and now I'm like, I'm ready.
That's great. So yeah, thank you so much. All right, so that was an interesting interview from Selena. I know you weren't here for that interview. Mm-hmm, yeah. You were sick, you know, lots of other stuff that was going on as well. But we do have another interview from Shafni Nalir. Mm-hmm. We're going to head straight into the interview right now. Interesting conversation we had, by the way. So mm-hmm. let's jump into the interview with Shafni. All right, so currently in the studio with us right now is Shafni Nalir. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly.
Yep.
Yes. He is a spiritual care facilitator at Manasa, a general manager of Toronto Islamic Center, and a spiritual care associate at the Center for Addictions and Mental Health. So Shafni, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me.
So you work with clients dealing with mental health. What kind of motivated you to work in this area?
So, I mean, I feel like we've been dealing with, I feel like I've been doing this thing before I kind of called it a job. It's just formally I started, seeking the education for it and kind of formalizing my work, making it more sustainable just recently, so maybe within the past 3 years. But really, honestly, it's just seeing the situations in my community and trying to address them and realizing that they extend further than physical manifestations of what it looks like. So, if it's someone struggling in school, it might be more than just they don't get how these numbers don't add up, for example. There might be something more. So I guess in that passion or that drive to figure out what's going on and how I can be of service, I'd say this might be a big motivation.
Would you say that, you know, religious institutions have kind of like reformed to better address certain aspects of mental health?
No.
No?
Okay. There's a lot of catch-up that needs to be done.
Oh, yeah.
A ton of catch-up. And I'd say it goes both ways. Whether the medical institutions that exist right now or even the religious institutions, I believe that there needs to be working together to be in a more holistic type of way that we serve people. To understand that the human being is not just one way or the other. It's a mix of different things. So some people are more spiritual than others, and some people are not. I think that's the role that spiritual care providers or spiritual care facilitators can play. They are between the two. Because clinically, we have a college that you report to. You are set by rules and standards. But at the same time, you have your faith that can complement the service that you provide. And generally, that's the thing. So when, if a client or a patient is saying that, today I felt blue, right? from a clinical perspective, someone might say, okay, is he talking about sadness? Are they talking about, I don't know, what is this color? What could it mean? But from a, like a spiritual care perspective, you might be able to understand it differently, right? Or for example, someone says that, you know, last night I went to sleep and I seen this, this and that, right? Clinically, we might see, okay, is your temperature okay? Is your, you know, how's your white blood cell count and other things? But it ends there. For us, though, as, you know, spiritual care professionals, we look deeper, we look further. And that's really, I'd say, what, when it comes to even what spirituality is, it's not necessarily religion, mm-hmm. per se. So we, the one definition I really like is spirituality is the individual's meaning-making mechanism. Whatever experience you go through in life, that's how, that's the tool that you use to derive meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, you actually asked me a question. I was like asking, I was going to ask, like, you know, what have you learned in your time as a spiritual care facilitator?
Yeah.
And all that. You're a spiritual care associate at the Center for Addictions and Mental Health. I was wondering if you ever dealt with any people struggling with, you know, addictions and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, so generally when they're in the hospital or they're, when they're at CAMH, or this, like you mentioned, the Center for Addictions and Mental Health, they're already medicated. They're already, you know, generally when it comes to their addiction, it's kind of under control.
Okay.
But in the community, it's a totally different ball game. At CAMH, it's more so people are already, it depends which type of population we see. So I see different groups of people. I see people, whether they're been, they've sometimes they're in their merge, they just walked in, they need to see someone from spiritual care, or for example, someone who is in the forensic building. This is for people, it's like a medium security building with like maybe 12 patients in one section. Each one has its own camera, and they're going to be there for the next 20, 30, 40 years. So we see people like that as well. And so a wide range, and each one is almost, you know, I go in there thinking, what can I learn from this person? You know, it'd be hubris and it'd be deep arrogance and it'd only underserve myself if I think I can go in there and I'm going to be able to make this person feel better. You know, I never go in with that. I always go in with an open mind, try to go in and see, and oftentimes, I'll be honest with you, oftentimes there are people that I meet and I walk out of those sessions feeling, you know, a deeper sense of spirituality myself. People that are struggling, people that are, you know, going through so much difficulty, I feel, you know, like since I'm a Muslim, I feel closer to God walking out of those sessions.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, something else. But again, in the community perspective, these are people who've been, I'd like to use the term, traumatized by other professionals. So for example, if they do get into the system, they wait 2 years or 3 years, they finally see someone and that person sees them. So I specifically work with the black population for Wanessa. And that's, you know, if you want to get into that, we can.
You can.
But, you know, it's a not just underserved, but like... the system is insane the way it is right now.
Yeah, for sure.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some I've had, like, it's interesting. Like, I've had clients that, for example, they might see their friends shot in front of them, right? But because they might be black or because they're from Regent Park, well, that's the norm. Why are you upset? You don't live in Richmond Hill and, you know, live in a nice suburb on... what is it, Bridal Path, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why are you upset? It's just part of you. You should be used to something like that. And when you hear stuff like that and you realize that these are human beings that have gone through these deep struggles that are going to impact them and their lives and they haven't talked about it, it's going to cause something. And so trying to advocate for people like that. So oftentimes, I'll give an example. This happened maybe with me like twice with my colleagues. It's happened a couple more times. We get a client of ours who's feeling suicidal. At that point, there are certain questions that we ask, and then we and then they're meant to go to the hospital, right? And so oftentimes, though, I will walk with them or go with them to the hospital. And so we notice that when we are with them, they're actually, they get through the whole system. They finally get to see a psychiatrist. Whereas other times, it's a ton of waiting. It's a ton of just, and finally, they just say, oh, you're okay, and then they leave. Like, oh, there are so many times, like, we spend, like, I remember one of my colleagues, I remember he was telling us this, he spent like a good 1 to 2 hours trying to convince this young man that, trust me, you need to go to the hospital. Don't worry, they're not going to traumatize you. Not worry, they're not going to go too deep into your history and things like that. Finally, after convincing him, finally walks into the hospital, stays for maybe 20 minutes, and then he gets discharged. And, you know, it's wild. So, whereas if someone were from a different race, I have to say, it might be looked at differently. Or if someone's from, you know, we have many people coming into the country right now who are fleeing, like, extreme trauma, like, you know, wars, and war is the biggest one.
Yeah.
Right now, and this is happening. And then sometimes it's like, you know what, your people should be used to that kind of trauma, though. It's very sad. In this day and age, we have that, but it's not surprising either. I think there were some studies done. I think Black Health Alliance is one of the organizations that did a couple studies, and there's been a lot of studies in the U.S. I remember reading that there are some nurses that believe that Black people's pain tolerance was higher. They could tolerate more pain because their skin was thicker, and so they're less likely to give them pain medication or other things because they just thought they could handle it more. You know, and it's like it goes to that extent that professionals in the field believe these things. You know, so that's something there. It's more deeper than that, but, you know, we're trying what we can.
Yeah, and it's absolutely crazy. Actually, you kind of like the first time learning that, you know, there is corruption, like, you know, in not just, you know, the police system or mental health system, but even, like, you know, in, like, just general healthcare as well. I was kind of wondering, you know, what do you ever think about your legacy about being a spiritual care facilitator or being a mental health worker?
So I'm a dad, okay? Mm-hmm. And, like, that's what I constantly think about. I think about my kids. I want to build a future for them where they'll be able to live in a world where things are better than the way I'm living right now. And that's kind of what I focus on in everything that I do. So I think I was, like, kind of raised with that as well with my father. So just that's really the focus for me. Just I really want to live in, you know, create an environment for them which is just peaceful. And in terms of mental health and things like that, there's a big way to go, a long way to go. But I'll tell you this much, we need more good people in the field. Honestly, that's going to fix a ton of things.
Yes.
And yeah.
All right. I think that wraps up our interview. Shafni, thank you so much for coming in. Lots of good answers. And thank you for taking your time to come down to the studio today.
All right, so let's reflect on the interview we had with Shafni. I know you came a little bit late, yeah, right there, so that's why you know she wasn't able to speak, but she was in the studio with us.
I was, yes.
But yeah. Anyways, what were your thoughts on that? That was a lot of stuff.
That was definitely a lot of stuff, and I think I really admire how passionate he is about what he does, and in terms of helping others, I think that's really why there was so much, and I think it's really nice. I think it was definitely very interesting. Some things, I was listening in, and some things are very, I would say, relatable, even if there's a difference of, I guess, culture or opinion.
A different perspective. Yeah, yeah. As comparing, like, Shafni to, like, Selena, you know, Shafni is, like, you know, an actual, I'd say, social worker. That's, yes. I guess that's the broad term.
Yes.
And Selena is just, like, you know, just, like, someone who just, like, is exploring their religion.
Yes.
In general as well. So, like, interesting to hear from different cultures as well. Because, yeah, you know, like I said, I am not Muslim.
Yeah.
But just, like, seeing how it was Shafni's approach as well. And how he, like, you know, tries to, like, you know, approach other people that might not share the same values with, yeah, him as well.
You grew up in a Christian household, right?
Yes, I did.
Were there any things you related to during these two interviews or maybe the last interview with Selena?
With Selena, I mean, it was nice to have like a conversation discussing like, you know, kind of Christianity mm-hmm. in general, and you know, because like I never really like had the chance to kind of like talk about just like, you know, religion with like someone that's also Christian, mm-hmm. Growing up in like an area where, or going to like a school where like, you know, there isn't really a lot of Christians, like the demographics a little bit more different, a little bit more mixed, I guess, because you know usually in the Catholic schools, that's where you like talk about all the religious stuff and stuff yeah. like that, and or in religious schools. Mm-hmm. So I think it was nice to like kind of like have that conversation and talk about like, you know, the where I came from as well.
Right. I also do think one of the things that Shafni said about the wait time in the industry, the healthcare industry, or the health.
Yes, it's a joke with Canadian healthcare saying that, you know, it's free, but you have to wait so long for everything.
And I think I've heard that so much as well, and I've experienced it as well. And it's just, it's very frustrating. It's just when you're struggling with mental health and you need help out there, it's like, yes, there's a lot of help out there. Yes, there's like resources and stuff. There's hospitals that help you, right? But at the same time, understanding that, yes, like the wait times are a lot longer, and that sometimes you go in and help is not always guaranteed because of whatever reason or whatever the questions they ask you, they send you back home. And it's like in those moments it's good to understand that for some people, I guess, the turn to religion or even culture or their own personal beliefs, it's like, it's just like that their kind of comfort would be in that. So I guess that's also pretty interesting to say, just that switch or mm-hmm. not switch, just that like transition as well. But also it is definitely frustrating. So
yes, I actually have a story. I was literally, yeah. I was like, I called Kids Help Home a few times, and right. it was never successful. I never hooked up with a counselor. Like, I waited like about 30 minutes, and then I was just like, no, I'm done.
No.
I'm out of there. And then yeah. there was like a walk-in place, like, you know, a walk-in, like, in a mental health mm-hmm. space. And then I tried going in. The door was locked. There were lots of people in there. It was crowded. I was like, come on. I need to talk to someone. And then, like, is this what I get?
No, because that's what happened with me too with Kids Help Phone. I got so frustrated by the wait time that by the time I was even set up with a counselor, I gave up. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you about my feelings anymore. And then the walk-in happened, or I remember going to actually the emergency room for something, and like the wait time was so much that everything I was feeling, I was like, I just want to go home now. Like, I don't even want to be here. So it's definitely frustrating, I would say. It's a story to tell one day, but it's definitely very frustrating how the healthcare system kind of handles itself in terms of mental health. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a long way to go. And I think that's why, you know, when it comes to, like, having mental health in religious institutions, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, that's also another place where people can go as well. So, you know, that's why I do hope that, you know, lots of different religion churches or religion mosque or, you know, like I said, institutions, you know, hopefully they can, like, you know, understand mental health so, like, they can kind of connect with people who aren't able to, like, get that help as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's very important that religion aspect with mental health is kind of intertwined to just aid to people. And I think to some extent it already is. Sometimes there's just, again, that stigma of not talking about it, or certain people or certain opinions within that institution, which can kind of, I assume, create clashes. But definitely a long way to go in some way. But I think a lot of institutions are also coming pretty far with that, at least to compare where we were in the past, I would say.
Yeah, sure.
Speaking from, at least also from my own kind of religion, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah.
All right. And I think that's going to wrap up episode 2 for No Hard Feelings.
Stay tuned.
Yep. See you later for next episode. Take care of yourself.